I see we have members of the public and our staff that would like to speak. In the order in which I'm looking at the comment forms, Rhonda Jones. And if you would go up to the, introduce yourself, go up to the podium. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Rhonda Jones, and I'm speaking, reading something from staff this morning. When the process began for the classification study, we were told to be thorough in listing all of our job duties. When the draft job descriptions were received, some employees requested a copy of their supervisor's comments that were attached to the PDQs. We were told they were not available. COF has them. We contacted COF. They told us that's between you and your supervisor. When we asked HR again, we were told that they weren't going to give us a copy. We did not receive a copy of the supervisor's comments until the union requested these copies as part of their meet and confer process. Why the mystery? It appears the supervisor's comments are what led to the changes in the job descriptions that are directly related to working independently and the amount of supervision required, the level of responsibility, and the minimum qualifications necessary for the job. All were lowered. The end result is obvious. We will be compared to lower paying jobs with lower salaries. Thank you.
First, any board questions? If not, Kelly Ingersoll.
Good morning. My name is Kelly Ingersoll. I'm an employee here at Cicera and have been for the past 18 years. I am here today to speak to you regarding the job classification studies done by COF and Associates with the direction of Cicera. When I was given my own new job classification to look at, I immediately noticed issues. I was not the only one who noticed that many of the job classifications were downgraded, missing things, minimum qualifications changed, and wording changed or omitted altogether. This discovery posed a problem. We therefore contacted our union, who notified Cicera Human Resources. Eventually, our union rep, along with four represented employees from Cicera, met with Joe Wiley and Christina Dunn. The result of that meeting was take the COF classifications as is, or leave it and stay with the ones we currently have. Because of past experiences and a complete lack of trust with executive management, we are choosing to leave it. Recent events that have happened with four non-represented employees due to the new job and salary classifications they have received only show that the few are getting more and the many are getting less. The number of represented employees here at Cicera is 29. 29 employees, that's all. We represent the employees that are not getting rich off their salaries. My position, full-time, top step, makes $55,000 a year. My daughter's tuition at college just about covers that entire amount. So when we receive job classifications that could and most likely change our compensation, I find it to be a slap in the face. When staff was told in this very room about doing job classification studies, we were told, even assured, nothing would be taken away. The end of the bargain, that end of the bargain has not been withheld so far with a few of the unrepresented employees. I can't honestly believe you are aware of the things happening here. I don't enjoy using my accruals, coming in here and speaking. But I want you to hear the circumstances as to why accepting the new job classifications are just a risk we are not willing to take. Thank you.
I've got a question for you. What things were taken away?
You guys approved them.
No, I'm asking for your job. What you said,
the job classifications?
Yeah. For example, what was taken
minimum
away?
Qualifications were taken away.
Okay.
On my job description, there's probably four things that I do on it because we're all lumped together. The wording, all of the titles of retirement have been taken away because we're pretty much a specialized service. We are retirement. We are specialized in retirement. So that's all of those have been taken away.
So the title and the minimum qualifications?
There's more. I can definitely give you all of them and put them in your packets.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to spend all day listing them, but I definitely can. I can definitely come back and speak more.
I just want to get an example, so I didn't understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other board questions? Thank you. Annette Mendoza.
Good morning. I'm Annette Mendoza, 27-year employee here, Cesera employee, a retirement accounting specialist 3. I would like to say, first of all, I have never loved working for an employer as much as I have loved working for Cesera. We have had many changes over the times. I won't belabor many things. I've been through 4 different administrations, approximately 5 different board dynamics. And I am here speaking on behalf of represented employees, but I also would like to speak to the unrepresented employees because they are our coworkers. We care about them as much as we care about ourselves. When we became independent, prior to becoming independent, the board assured us, and we strongly felt that we would be in a better place. We had filed litigation against the county when they came into the pay cuts. Our board objected. We lost Carrie Halley, also due to that very thing. Carrie Halley was the former chief investment officer. And we, the labor unions, fully supported that legislation because that legislation would make this board independently responsible for their administrative expenses. And I would thank the board, we all thank the board very much, that immediately upon separation, effective January 1, 2015, you did restore the 2.75 pay cut that occurred. Since that time, we have been in negotiations. We agreed to a new contract. And as you know, the last time we came before you was as a result of the healthcare proposal that came down. We had been assured, not even 1 month before, that we would be guaranteed at least what the county provided. That proposal was given to us at much less than that, in violation of the contract we had just signed. So we came before the board. You rectified that. You gave us a most wonderful health care program and benefits. We thank you so much for that. Aside from that, it has been a very difficult year. What we had expected was what we believe the board fully intended, that we would be made whole, that the actions taken would be in the benefit of the staff and the employees, and we had no reason to doubt that. We actually still believe that that is the board, where the board is coming from. However, we also believe that the board is taking in good faith, as we have taken the board in good faith, what they are being told as to the circumstances here. We strongly disagree with that. The morale is the lowest it has ever been. The division between management and staff is as far apart as it has ever been. We'd like also to address this classification study, and I believe that you asked what things have been taken away from us in this classification and comp study. The retirement accounting specialist series 1, 2, and 3 is a flex class series. The counselor series 1, 2, and 3 are a flex class series. It is in our MOU that this classifications will not be changed. What has been done in this comp study, I'll speak for myself and people in the accounting division, as we have all discussed this. When we came in and we met with this lady, she told us not to expect anything, that most likely there would be no changes of increase in our salaries, because the market, its highest demand is for the higher level positions. And given that they are in greatest demand due to the retirement of the baby boomers, their classifications would most likely be the ones that would be increased. So we were very much in shock when we received the recommended classifications to discover that within our union, 6 of the classifications and series had been lowered almost to an entry-level minimum qualifications. Now, it is in our MOU that you cannot change minimum qualifications without meeting and conferring with the unions. In addition to that, they eliminated, we currently have in place, currently in the past, a most excellent career pathing program and requirements for professional development. They eliminated, first of all, the use of retirement before our classifications. Retirement in these classification respects was not referencing the department. It was referencing the specialty. We are specialists in pension accounting, pension counseling. Okay, there is every reference to pension knowledge or pension experience was removed from the minimum qualifications. The education requirements were lowered. There was an elimination of our career pathing. Instead of having a retirement accounting specialist 1, 2, and 3, they just eliminated that and made it retirement accounting specialists. Instead of retirement counselors 1, 2, and 3, they removed the counselor 3, made a beginning counselor and an advanced counselor, or I'm not sure of that second name, eliminating the higher level. They also eliminated all of the education requirements that went through this career development. We were required at particular points in order to advance to the next higher level, we were required to take the CALIPERS overview, intermediate and advanced training. We were required to be certified in the IFEBP, which International Foundation of Employment Play Benefit Plans. We were required to be certified in the investment series, in the benefit series, tracks 1 and 2 for both of those. We were also required to be certified in the CAP Public Plan Policy 1 and 2. They also eliminated the number of years of experience, basically eliminating any reference to pension knowledge, development, and in the lowering of these classifications, minimum qualifications, they made us equivalent to basically clerk series within the county at a lower level. Also, every reference to working independently was removed from everyone's job classifications. Where we have worked independently all of these years, performed our job functions very well, and as you know, last year for the first time, well, we have always gotten a very excellent audit. We got a totally clean audit. That was working independently. We did not need to be micromanaged to have that happen. We disagree with COF's evaluation. We have issues. I would like to address just the mere fact that when the unrepresented salary schedule was approved and came down by the board. In your management classifications, 20% of your classifications were lowered. That was four people. Some lowered as high as 9.4%. 20% of these classifications received very substantial increases. Those are four people also. In the represented staff, 80% of our classifications and minimum qualifications were lowered. 20% remained the same. So overall in this, overall in this department, 60% of this staff has been lowered, 8% have had major increases, and about 32% have remained basically the same. Now I'm going to refer specifically to the accountant position in this office because that is in my division, the accounting division. Our accountant is a certified public accountant, CPA. Her salary was lowered by 9% in the classifications. So now, since we as represented employees have elected to remain the same as we were given that option, now we have a compaction issue because our retirement accountant is now making less than the accountant specialist threes, all of the counselor threes. So that is a potential problem for needing to be dealt with.
Are you talking about in the county in when you said making less than the
three? No, in this department, our accountant is now making less than the retirement accounting specialists here in this office. So we have a compaction problem there. And so it doesn't take a lot to figure out when you have lowered these particular unrepresented management positions to this degree that the result using the current classifications that have been provided by COF will also lower represented anywhere from 5 to 10%. So I need to tell you, first of all, I personally work for gratification. I love what I do. As long as I'm able to do that, I am fine. I do need an income that is sustainable. We've now gone to an ADP system that is paying us by the days worked per month, which is impacting the employees. It takes us in at a less for about 3 months than we were currently making. Then it brings us up higher, but if you don't save that money, you can't get through there. So that's another potential problem that exists.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Within the MOU, there's a process, correct, to address
yes.
grievances and the concerns that you're expressing now?
Yes.
Have you initiated that process?
Yes.
Okay.
We have requested a meet and confer back, I believe, in November. And we just had our meeting last week, that meet and confer, and it was at this point that they said, well, if you want to keep them just the same, then you're welcome to do that, because we'll be going into negotiations again in a few months. However, it doesn't resolve the problem, and I need to say that I think that integrity and ethics are extremely critical for the well-being of any organization, and that includes truthfulness. It includes what is being said on the one hand is what the action is on the other hand. When those are inconsistent, there is a problem. When the communication is so very limited, it eventually went to an as-need-to-know basis, where before everyone was communicated with and educated in the whole full capacity, even though it was not pertaining to their job. Because the more knowledgeable your staff is, the more successful your organization will be. And the communication has, over the last few years, gone to a need-to-know-only basis. Now, it just kind of stops. People's jobs are being impacted and by different directives given, different policies or plans that have come about that the people performing the work are not even informed. It is impacting their ability to perform that. I just needed to address that to all of you. We have had many things that have happened. We've had many activities. But when you have all these nice activities and then you're undercutting underneath is great cause for concern for us. It impacts the morale. It impacts the financial sustainability of the individuals. And I personally am about truthfulness, quality of life. So, thank you.
Question for you. So yes. You have the person for the salary thing we're doing. They
should yes.
be that you would not be getting a raise?
They said do not expect any change.
Personally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You commented something having to do with the audit.
Yes.
I apologize, I didn't pick that up. Would you expand on what you were referring to? And
Our audit last year for 2014 came back very exceptional, but it also did not have any comments. It was a totally clean audit. There were no comments for improving or comments of something that needed to be addressed. I think that was the first year that happened, where there were absolutely no comments at all.
I have a question.
Yes.
Have you had the opportunity to communicate with any of the member employers of CICERA about your concerns?
The opportunity to communicate with whom?
The member employers, that is our employer agencies. Have you communicated with employer agencies about your concerns that you're expressing here?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Two things. The first speaker mentioned that you had to take accruals to be in here today. I don't think that should occur. We'll deal with that. You shouldn't have to take time out to come and address the board because
Thank
our
you.
Meetings occur during your work time, so you should be able
Thank
to talk
you.
About that. But secondly, the issue of the classification study.
Yes.
We've been waiting for input from the represented union, from Ask Me, to get back to us on that. So we haven't taken any action with regards to the classification
yes.
study. It's been presented to us, but we've been awaiting input from Ask Me. And I can understand
We do know that.
And I can understand that any sort of reclassification is gonna cause concern and suspicion and many other things. We didn't have any input with regards to what went into the classification study. We were waiting to see what came to us. So with regards to that, there's been no action taken with regards to represented.
Yes.
The other thing just jumped out of my mind. I'm sorry, it may pop back in. not the compaction. I mean, that obviously is a concern.
Yeah. We would personally like to see a reconsideration of those recommendations on those classifications and individuals whose salaries were lowered, because COF did provide several options of how things could be dealt with. And even though it is not impacting at this moment their salaries, it is impacting all their future earnings, all of their future earnings and benefits. And we are professionals also.
The one other thing, the retirement classification in front of all of our employees' names, and you probably remember why this came about, in that we wanted to differentiate your classification or your job titles from regular county employee job titles, so that we could set, by doing that, we could set salary ranges for retirement, accountant classification as opposed to regular county employee accountant.
That is true. So, I do recall
so
that.
So by taking away the retirement now, it wasn't
the career
it certainly
path.
Wasn't our intention to take away or requirements for the positions. It was just to simplify the job titles, because now everyone that works here, we don't have to differentiate you from.
Yes, I do recall that. Okay. But I think that what brought that to our attention even more was the fact that there was no reference anywhere in our represented classifications to requiring any account of any amount of retirement or pension plan knowledge, or accounting is a different kind of accounting,
okay.
Or understanding. Person would come in at an entry level position, and then that would be, they would learn that. They would learn that through these course studies, through the required courses, which we're no longer being sent to. And they would require that through the experience of working. And as they gain in that experience and that knowledge, and that is how this flex class worked, that was the design of that, was to give this department the best qualified, the most knowledgeable staff that they could get.
I appreciate, and I appreciate the information that everybody has given us today. It's something that I wasn't aware of. There's a lot of things in my own department office that I'm not aware of also. So, but I'm glad that you let us know what was going on and the concerns and the impact that may not have been apparent on the.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I have one question. In your career path, your top step three, be it the counselor or the auditor, when the new study has come out and they're giving you the steps and that, but not the career path, is that
top more of the education?
Okay. Is that top step pay salary the same as the top step career path salaries, or is it lower?
Well, actually, we've only had the classification study presented to us, to the represented. We have no idea what came in on the comp study.
We haven't performed the comp study yet. We're waiting for the classification study to be completed before we ran the comp study.
But our top step is higher, as I said, than the accountant, CPA.
I don't remember seeing it either.
Did we get the classification study for the represented employees?
We did get it, but we didn't take any action on it because it's been pending.
For the represented?
For the representatives.
Didn't Gosh, I don't think
we
have.
I don't think
no,
we
saw
that.
For the represented.
No.
Part of the
it was only unrepresented.
Study was that the COF did draft job descriptions and asked represented staff
okay.
for suggestions
uh-huh.
on them,
uh-huh.
and the represented staff asked for meeting confer.
That's what it
so
was.
We couldn't continue with the classification.
Okay.
So we
may I comment to that statement, please?
Go ahead.
She, COF, did do our job descriptions. The lowering and changing of the minimum classifications of the classifications themselves is not a part of that. Should not have been a part of that. Changing the classification itself, no. Adjusting to what our job duties are and putting it out on the market that way, any adjustment to the classification should have had a meet and confer before it ever went to COF. Excuse me.
Yes, so I'm really confused because we haven't completed the classification study for represented employees, correct?
Correct.
So we got as far as drafting some job descriptions, and those went to the employees? Or
mm-hmm.
Okay, so they went to the employees, and we asked for comment,
mm-hmm.
and we got none because we were asked for meet and confer.
Yes.
Okay.
But the draft was supposed to be for the employees. It was not supposed to be a change in change in classifications. Was supposed to be a study on the classifications, my understanding. And we are going to stand very firm on that.
Yeah, so I don't think this has come before this board. We've not taken any action on job descriptions. We haven't even seen them yet, or classification study. So it sounds like we have a process going on.
We're still our last meeting was Thursday, and we have responded to Christina and Joe Wiley that we have accepted the offer to remain the same. So our first meet and confer meeting was last Thursday. It took us several months to get the information requested, and it still was not complete at that point.
What does that mean, to stay the same?
With our current classifications as they are described, with our current career pathing, yes.
That's what I thought.
If you're concerned with what might happen, you're not concerned with what has happened, what might happen, is that your issue?
We are concerned with what has happened in unrepresented. We are concerned with the fact that we were assured by the board there would be no takeaways, and we believe that is the board's intention. So I guess that we at this point, I would like to know if that is still the board's intention, or if the board has given specific direction in this area, or if this direction has been given by internal staff.
Go back. So have we taken anything away? You were saying we might take things away, but have we taken things away?
Mm-hmm. No.
With unrepresented, you have.
I'm feeling, we're on
the represented, not at this point.
We haven't done anything yet.
Right. So because we are in meet and confer, we just agreed in a meet and confer.
So it seems like you're concerned what might happen. I'm trying to get to that point. We haven't done anything.
It's more an ethics thing. It's really an ethics thing. It's a truthfulness thing. It is a be transparent thing. Keep to the word.
How have you been lied to? You say we're not being truthful. How have you been lied to?
Oh, let me tell you. I am not addressing this board as not being truthful.
You just said it was, well, whatever.
Yes. I did say that.
You are.
So I just want to make a comment. We're here under public comment, and we're receiving comment from employees. We've had a lot of iterative discussion here, some of which is helpful, but I think we're getting into waters where I'm feeling like we're talking about a matter and engaging on a subject that actually hasn't come before us. We haven't made any decisions. I haven't seen any report or recommendation regarding this. And some of the testimony assumes that we've not only taken an action, that we've either been misled or have already done something or might do something. I'm not making up my mind about anything until it's before us. And there is a process. I think we just heard that. In our MOU, we have a Bible. We need to live by it. And I'm a little concerned about what we're doing here. I don't know why this is happening at the time it's happening, but we can take public comment. I'm just a little concerned that we not engage and bargain from this dais, because I don't understand what we're doing. So I just want to throw out that cautionary. I don't want to suggest to anybody who wants to present testimony that it's not appropriate. I'm just suggesting there is a process in the MOU for represented employees. It sounds like that process is taking place. Nothing has come before us, and we've made no decision. Just want to be very clear on that.
I echo that. It sounds as if, again, we haven't taken steps. Mm-hmm. We haven't done a final consideration. So it's almost as if, I agree, you're welcome to take the time and say whatever you want, but but you're kind of, almost looks as if you're, in the sports world, they would call this working the refs.
Right.
You know, you're kind of preempting the process. You're going to the board to try and discuss what's being discussed in the meet and confer process, or will be, in advance of that discussion being completed.
No, I see what you're saying. No, I do. Did you want to introduce me? I'm sorry.
Yes, and I'm going to apologize on my pronunciation of your last name, Lori
Giacomelli. Yes, I'm Lori Giacomelli. I'm a 27-year employee here. I had not planned on speaking, but I think that there's some confusion, and I'm pretty blunt. As Christine and Gail both know, because I've had conversations with both of them, I think what's happening is that there were four unrepresented employees. I was told I could use one of their names, Shannon Mars. She was, her position, she just did get a raise. She went to the next step. But then the steps after that have all been taken away. So, you gave her an increase, but at the same time, you took away her potential for increases because now she's stuck at that step. So if you're willing, and I'm not saying you, I think part of the problem is that staff doesn't know if the board is aware of what the executive staff is doing. And that is the frustration in this office. I'm pretty blunt. I apologize in advance. So if they're willing to do that to the unrepresented, what are they going to do to us? And then what are they going to tell you they're doing? Because I used to know every board member in here. I mean, they saw us in the hallway. They would say, hey, how are you? I don't know half of you people. Not to be rude. I just don't know you. And like Kelly said, yes, we have to take accruals to come in here, which is ridiculous to me. So, you know, we were told when we, you know, started this whole, you know, we're going to become our separate person, people, whatever, separate identity, that nothing would be taken away. And so far, it has been taken away from those four people. And we do care about those employees. Because if those employees leave, you already have two longtime employees that are retiring. You know, one's a counselor, three, and I am the other one. I was asked by staff before we had our little meeting the other day with Susie and the whole staff, don't announce your retirement yet, Lori, because you are the last counselor three there is, and they can take the counselor three, that step, away. And so when we met with Susie, we don't have a lot of faith that we are going to be protected. Because this doesn't really matter to me. I am retiring. I'm out the door. But what about all these other people? I mean, this is a job to them, and they are specialists. In regards to what was taken away out of the minimum qualifications and stuff like that, what happened is there were certain words taken away, like works independently. There are some employees in this office that filled out that form, gave it to their supervisor. Their supervisor took that form, wrote all over it, crossed out words like independently, and submitted it. Never talked to the employee about it. To me, that's just wrong. You don't do that. Especially longtime employees have been here forever. I mean, we know our job. So it's just a little frustrating. Anybody have any comments? I mean, has that cleared it up? I mean, I'm pretty blunt. I'm sorry. But it's frustrating. A lot of people here don't want, you know, to be retaliated against. They're afraid. You know, they have to have their jobs. I'm fortunate enough that I am retiring. And with that goes 27 years of experience out the door. I'm the only person in this office that does the funding. That might not mean anything to you.
Come again?
I am the only person in this office that knows how to do the funding.
Knows that means, how to do the funding?
Yes, the funding is when you retire and the money gets transferred over to the act, or to the reserves. I came in on my leave of absence to do that funding. I do care about the employees. I do care about the retirees I deal with. You know, but when you've had enough, and it's time to walk away. Brian, I've called you. I've had conversations with you about this. Mm-hmm. And he did say, go to Susie, you know. But if I go to Susie, what's going to be presented to the board if it doesn't get past the executive staff? And for the fact that you guys just gave these huge raises to some of these employees in here, the executive staff, they're only as good as we are. And that is just, we're scared. People are scared that the same thing's going to happen to them as happened to those four employees. And I really strongly urge you guys to reevaluate that and look at those employees and give back those steps. I'm done. Anybody have any questions? Okay.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have one more speaker, Charisse Jimenez.
Hi. I want to thank the board and everybody. You guys are been really like gracious and thoughtful to let the employees anytime we've come up here and wanted to voice concerns. And all of us that work here, we really do care so much about the office and our colleagues, and it's very important to us. Even me, I'm going to give you a totally different standpoint of how this affected me, and it's not in a negative way, but what I viewed. And I prepared a little bit so that I'm not so nervous as I was last time I talked to you guys. But so we were asked to have this meeting with Coffin Associates when they first came. I believe it was two groups, at least two groups, because the staff was really encouraged to participate, ask questions, and get involved. And I was in a group, and a lot of the people were skeptical. And I don't know if you remember the classification study that was done a couple of years back. We all got copies of it. For us, for the most part, it was hard to follow, but the bottom line was we were all overpaid. Management was all underpaid. So people were upset. They were nervous when COF was coming in. And I'm, you know, kind of, I went into that classification or that meeting, and I heard people voicing their opinions, and I spoke up to the woman who was very, very nice, and explained to her why they were so mad. Like, this is what happened last time, and they're scared and they're frustrated. And I think that being so skeptical, I mean, they're scared that pay cuts and things like that, and now we're independent, so, you know, it's a whole different ball game. And so it was very nervous for a lot of people. I am definitely the exception from what people are saying up here. The study was done, and to my knowledge, the disability unit is the only represented staff that complied. To be honest with you, it was not intentional. I received it. We had a short deadline. I was busy. I got that thing done. Leilani was new back there, and I turned it in, got an email saying, you know, if you didn't agree or if you did agree, meet and confer. I did not agree with the job description that was presented to me. I agreed with a lot of it, but I did feel it was incomplete. I marked that thing all up, and I had attachments, and I turned it in, and I had every intention of, you know, supporting my fellow union members and going and getting it back, and I got busy, and I forgot, and it was too late, and I didn't think it was that big of a deal because I didn't agree, and I received my final draft back, and COF did. They incorporated every single change that I had said. Again, though, I'm in a unique circumstance in the disability unit. I'm a counselor working in a disability. We are now becoming a unit. So what they did is they actually developed a job description for what I do. And Sisera is developing a disability unit instead of, you know, the solo man at the class disability unit. And I think that Tracy, I wish it would have happened when she was here because she totally deserved it. She held that thing down, and she, if anybody, I mean, really held it down. And so I know she's happy for me and that it's working out. But and I know that when Gail came in, that was one of her first things when she talked to me about disabilities was that it's, you know, it's a little weird that I'm in, you know, this classification and I do their duties, and then I have a whole other set of duties that I'm, you know, expected to do with the responsibility and pressure that's kind of not over on the active desk. So I received mine back, and it was, again, it went very smoothly. It was, for my circumstance, it was ideal. And I was perfectly fine with them and their issues, but I'll be honest, I didn't understand them. And it could be that I was had blinders because I was so happy that I could see a job description that actually said what I did on it. And I just didn't get it. I came to the meetings with my fellow union members. I will support them to the end. I didn't speak up because I didn't have anything but, you know, worked out for me, you know, kind of thing. And everybody knows, and they all support me, and they're all happy for me. We're all a family here. Even, you know, our unrepresented mid-management, our represented employees, I mean, we spend so much time together, and we care about each other, and we care about the retirement system, we care about our members, and they're happy for me, even though there is this fear. And I sat in those meetings, and I just didn't understand it. Like, what do you mean the MQs? How's that going to impact you? Like, I mean, really, because when we were in that COF meeting, I specifically asked and explained what was going on, and she said, I said, this is why they're concerned. This is what the last one came back saying. You know, they're really skeptical that it's going to happen again, and, you know, kind of is what it is, but this is why you're getting attacked with a, you know, mob full of angry employees. And she assured us that you will not have pay cuts. Don't expect raises either, though. You know, if it comes back and your salary is higher than the standard for your area, we're going to recommend no raises, you know, no increase until the market catches up, basically. So that's, you know, I felt really good walking out of that cough thing. And I don't know, I didn't talk to too many people about it, but I felt really confident coming out of that, that this was so much better than the last study that was done. It was more thorough, and it really applied to what we did, as the last one just kind of seemed, you know, like general, maybe somebody on the East Coast kind of just crunched some numbers and threw them on a spreadsheet for everybody. So I did feel very comfortable, and I had faith. I had a lot of faith that the best interests of Sisera staff were being taken into account, and this was going to be a good thing for all of us. I did. I had, like, probably, like, you know, just the cheerleader over here. And that's even before my classification thing came back. But sorry, I took a little bit of notes, so I was prepared, but I'm not that good at this. So yeah, I really understood that it, in the end, the worst case scenario is somebody wouldn't get a raise. You know, they're going to say that, you know what, in the market, you're really overpaid over here. As Sisera staff, I don't, with our current descriptions, I mean, we're not, that was the whole reason why Pat and everybody changed it, because so that we could have a good, decent salary compared and not lumped into the county clerks, you know, because we are specialized and it takes years, you know, to really get comfortable in your job and to learn the law and learn how to change when things change. And it's longevity in this office is important, especially at our level, because we're the ones day to day diving in and doing things. And we do, you know, look for direction. But we are, we're the ones who handle all the day to day work, the calculations, we check each other's work. I mean, and I just really didn't think that anything bad would happen. So when we did separate, we had those four unrepresented people. Well, they weren't unrepresented when we separated. They were part of, I believe, Local 21, who dropped them and said, we're not going to have you four people anymore. Like, so that, you know, they already got kind of, you know, bad thing there. You know, they went from being represented to unrepresented just like that because we separated and they were such a small group. And prior to the cough results, I believe is when they went hourly. That's my understanding. So for them to go from a salaried position to an hourly position, I believe they lost their admin leave in that. And you know, so that's again, you're kind of like bummed out. These are the people I work with every day, and you know, I may be represented, which means I can come up here and speak up and feel a little bit more comfortable in doing so and speaking my mind than they can. But you know, day in and day out, we help each other. We're here for each other. So it was kind of upsetting that then it goes and it went to the board and it, you know, their classifications were changed, which resulted in salary schedules changing. And I still didn't think that I just didn't understand what was going on, I guess is what it was. I still wasn't clear on the union and their concerns, and it worked for me. But so I wasn't fully aware and understanding of what was going on until after those pay cuts of those people, because then it kind of started clicking in my head. Okay, well, now instead of all this experience, you could basically come out of high school, and if you've, you know, taken the right classes and you test well, you could do not, you know, you could be hired on here and be a counselor, and which is, you know, some kids out of high school could do that. But I've worked here my whole life since I was 21 years old. And I can tell you when I started, I couldn't have been a counselor. I barely could do that front desk. But I mean, and I've, you know, went through all the different offices. I've helped in accounting and went to benefits and then went back and filled Tracy's desk, and that's some tough shoes to fill when you have somebody that's really mastered what they do, and it's tough, and it's a lot of pressure. And so in the end, it's, you know, I'm glad that the way it's working out for me. But as all of us employees, at least all of us employees that, you know, don't have a lot of, you know, reserves in the bank, and we're,
you know, day by day and, you know, kind of trying to deal with life. We base our futures, we base our responsibilities, we really plan our lives around a salary schedule that's shown to us. You know, I based mine on the counselor series. I knew in 9 years what I'd be making. Give or take a little, you know, if there was hits, we would have pay cuts. There may be some COLAs, but I knew around what I'd be making, and I knew year to year what I'd be making. So I knew the changes I could make in my life and when I can make them, and you plan around those things. And I guess my bottom line is it all clicked of why the union was so, you know, involved in this, because I really just didn't understand. Because the bottom line is we do plan around a salary schedule that's presented to us. And future pay cuts, you know, I may be taking home the same or maybe a little bit more now, but a future pay cut's still a pay cut because I've planned my life around my job that I was hired for. And I think that that's, you know, it's not a nice thing to do to somebody. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you a question. You know, I know you have a lot of notes and you've
No, I'm done. I'm done with those. Throw my phone.
So when I'm driving home today, I'm in the sanctity of my car and it's quiet. Tell me what it is you want me to remember from your testimony today.
That future pay cuts are pay cuts. You have a job description in front of you. You know what your job description is. When I came on as an office specialist, as a receptionist, when I got hired as a permanent employee, I started out at $17.59 an hour, I believe. And I knew that when I maxed out, I would be at 25. And I knew when I became a counselor that that was a lateral move, and I took a pay cut to become a counselor. Not a big one, but I did. And I was stuck at Top Step Counselor 1 for 3 years, and Top Step for an office specialist is slightly higher, not huge, but it is slightly higher than Top Step Counselor 1. I knew that going in. I knew that I would be making slightly less for 3 years, but I knew that the potential, I would go to a 2, and then I would go to a 3. And I could pull those salary schedules up. And like I said, I mean, changes will occur due to the economy both ways. We've had both hits. But, I mean, in the long run, you kind of know around what you're going to be making. So I just think that, you know, if you speak in technical terms, no, they didn't take a pay cut. They got a raise. They've got up to the next step. Yeah, but technically my hair's brown. But, you know, I mean, I just feel like it's not a lie, but does it make it okay to do to somebody? Does it give somebody the drive to really think outside of the box and learn our law and learn our system? Does it really promote longevity for these people? And yeah, I mean, you get college students coming out a dime a dozen to come in here, and there are positions where you could rotate, you know, that, you know, specialties that don't necessarily pertain to 1937 Act law. There are.
So your message is you don't want the classification study for represented employees to be a subterfuge for pay cuts?
Yeah, I just think that worst case scenario for us, my understanding when we went into this, was that your worst case scenario is you wouldn't get a raise. And nobody expected it. We expected to at least stay where we were. Changing the way that the counselor series was done, I personally don't think that was a bad thing. I took a pay cut for 3 years to become a counselor. But it could get them to the top step faster, if that was still the top step. That's, you know, kind of where it lies.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding your message correctly. Yeah. I think I am. And you're aware that there's an MOU and a process.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To vet this issue, right? And that's ongoing now.
I do. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I still attend all the meetings, but I know that legally there are things that can be done. I mean, historically, and it was not necessarily this board. It was not the CEO, but we had employees, 3 employees that were all in the same classification. One was at Top Step, and 2 were lower. They reclassified those 2 lower and capped them off. So I know that legally, I mean, Sarah's not going to take any actions that they can't do. I mean. And I think we all know that, and that's what's scary is, like, they're scared, and I can see why now. And at first I didn't. So that's really my point is I was so not getting it, and when it clicked, I was no wonder they're scared. No wonder they're fighting this so hard, you know. And I just Again, I'd like to thank the board because it's nice for us to come in and, you know, being a district has been very bumpy, I think, for a lot of us. It's a big transition and it's a learning curve, but it's nice to be able to come in and address our board from who we are instead of going into the Board of Supervisors with a, you know, a raging group of people, because I feel like we are able, as professionals in this office, and a lot of us have learned and mastered a lot, you know, it's nice to be able to look at somebody that we see a couple times a month and address you, and I appreciate that you guys are very gracious in letting us do that and thoughtful in questions, and I think, but the point is it's the, they shouldn't have fear. There shouldn't be fear. And mine worked out, but I think I'm like the only one as far as they represented people, so.
Jerry, did you have a question?
For me, what's going through my mind is that this is an opportunity that I want to stay open, and that when the healthcare issue came up, it was clear what was going on, and it was clear what was being mentioned by the represented and also the management in terms of how that was affecting them down the road. And the same thing is now going on with regards to the salary step. And I've got this in my head. I understand that the career path is important and why it's important. But again, I'm going to go back to what my colleague said earlier. I will never stop this process from happening because I believe we need to be educated, because there are some things that, I mean, I came from the civil service system. I came from the county. I know what the steps are. I know the career paths. I know all of that. So I know that. But there are people on board that haven't come from that. And likewise, there are things in their area, like an actuarial stuff that comes up that I don't know and I need educating on, and so an actuary will educate me.
Yeah.
So you're educating us about the process that you're going through, and I think that's good, and I will always let that be open to you to do, all right? But I think what was said earlier is true. There's negotiations, and bring it up, and if there is an impasse, then fight like hell for it so you can have us know. And every once in a while, if there's something huge like this is apparently, educate us, and then we go on.
I didn't plan on speaking because, again, I'm the exception to what they're saying.
I'm
coming up here and saying, like, hey.
But I also got that there's a career path, and that's kind
of
being blocked. And maybe we need to in some way look at that, or it has to come up through negotiations.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That is all the public, all of the public speakers that I have yellow cards for. We normally would give an option for others if they wish to. If not,